President Trump unveiled a one-page healthcare policy plan last week. The White House and Congress have been under pressure as health coverage emerges as a major theme of the first year of a second term.
That year has brought changes to Medicare and Medicaid. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that more than 10 million Americans will lose their health coverage over the next decade.
This all comes as premiums under the Affordable Care Act are set to sharply increase.
So what does it all mean for Wisconsin? Julie Robner is Chief Washington Correspondent for KFF Health News, and Bobby Peterson is the Founder, Executive Director, and Public Interest Attorney at ABC for Health, a nonprofit public interest law firm in Wisconsin. I spoke with them earlier this week. Well, this is a year in review when it comes to health care in the Trump administration. What, Julie, do you see as the biggest story of this past year?
Well, of course, you know, in recent months, the biggest story has been the end of the additional tax credits for the Affordable Care Act. But I think if you look over the whole year, I think the biggest story is the changes, particularly to the Medicaid program that Congress made in what the president called his big, beautiful bill back last summer, that's going to result in almost $1 trillion in cuts to the Medicaid program over the next decade.
And Julie, who do you see feeling the impact of those cuts the most?
I think everybody sees the impact of those cuts. People think, oh, well, I'm not on Medicaid or I'm not on the Affordable Care Act, so this won't impact me. But frankly, as more and more people lose their health insurance, that puts more and more strain on the entire health system writ large. And so everybody who uses the healthcare system is eventually going to feel this.
Bobby, I want to see how this is playing out here in Wisconsin. We just had those subsidies expire. January 15th deadline has come and gone for enrolling for this year. What are you seeing when it comes to people making that decision of whether to enroll in the marketplace? And if so, what kind of coverage to get?
Yeah, I think it's depressing enrollment. I think people are becoming a little bit more risk averse, saying, you know, I might just chance it. I'm not going to get a health plan. I think the consequences of this are going to be, you know, as Julie stated too, but we're going to see rising levels of uncompensated care, people going without coverage, but then suddenly needing it and not having it available. So it becomes emergency room care, some of the most expensive care that's out there. It's going to increase uncompensated care in Wisconsin, which was $1.8 billion in 2023, the last year reporting was available, and it's going to keep going up. And this is going to be paid for by all of us.
Yeah, that Bobby, that uncompensated care means I'm not insured. I have to go to the emergency room. I have a bill. I can't pay it. And that, I think, is one of the concerns Julie was raising as well over how this could affect everyone. How big a strain do you see this being on hospitals and clinics in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think it's a strain on patients, but it's also a strain on clinics and hospitals. I mean, let's not forget that most of the hospitals are organized as nonprofits and they have some requirement to provide a certain level of charity care, which is part of uncompensated care, but it still generates a lot of medical debt, a lot of stress, potential credit score compromises, and some people are starting to reenact collection actions against people. So it's bad for the overall system. Talk about something that's bad for your health. Going through a medical debt proceeding and collections actions is not fun.
Julie, one of the impacts of that bill last year that hasn't hit yet is the work requirements under Medicaid. States like Wisconsin have this year to form the rules, figure out how this is actually going to work, and then it should take effect next year. In this next 12 months, what are you watching for as far as how states like Wisconsin handle this?
Well, I'm watching to see how much of a burden this puts on states to create a system that is actually fair to people. What we saw with some of the early tries at work requirements, it wasn't that the people weren't working, it's that the system that the state had created made it impossible for them to report their work hours. And a lot of people were unfairly dropped from the Medicaid rolls. That's a big concern. The Trump administration says they're going to be able to use AI and other sort of tech advances to make that more accurate and easier, but we will see. It's going to be tricky, and states are going to end up spending, you know, resources that they don't necessarily have to create the infrastructure for this work requirement reporting.
Bobby, here in Wisconsin, this is just getting rolling, putting together these rules. What are you watching for? What would you like to see to make sure that, hey, that person who is entitled to coverage doesn't get kicked off of it because they can't prove the work hours that they did?
Yeah, I think at some point, you know, it's very challenging for these proofs. We call them verifications in Wisconsin. And it seems like it's something simple. You know, maybe it's work hours, maybe it's pay stubs, maybe it's showing that you meet the medical frailty to not have to work. But oftentimes, this documentation is extremely difficult for people to gather, especially if they're housing compromised, they're moving, they're in a challenging situation. So one of the ways that we can help with this is to allow for the acceptance of the best available information. Sometimes it's the best documents you can gather to be able to submit under the circumstances. In other areas of Medicaid, it's available. We're not sure if it's going to be available with the new Medicaid work requirements yet. At least from the administration's perspective, it doesn't sound like they want to use that standard.
Julie, one thing that hasn't been at the front of the headlines, I think, has to do with prior authorization, right? What kind of authorization does a patient need from their insurer or from Medicare before they get a treatment? The Trump administration says it's going to try to make things easier for people under private insurers, but under Medicare, tighten up some of the prior authorization rules. What are you watching for in that field?
Yeah, this is kind of an interesting trend. I mean, we've seen a lot of pushback on prior authorization being required by private insurers, that people are saying it's just a way for insurers to delay and deny care. On the other hand, the administration wants to use artificial intelligence to do some prior authorization in Medicare. So far, this is just a pilot program. But, you know, there's a lot of people who are shaking their heads at that. I mean, it is possible for both things to be true, that private insurers have been abusing the system and that artificial intelligence could make the system work better. Just the optics of it are not great.
Bobby, how often is this an issue that comes to you as a public interest law firm, this thing that says, hey, I have insurance, but because of prior authorization, I'm not allowed to use it on this thing I need?
Quite often. And to see it expanding and spreading into areas like Medicare, I mean, we see it in Medicaid, we see it in private health insurance. It's really a shifting of the responsibility sometimes to the patient and the provider to prove it. Even in situations where there's well-documented information, research studies, in private insurance in some situations, it's considered bad faith for insurance companies not to review the information first instead of just shifting it over to the patient or provider to investigate it. So to see it expand, I think it's troubling. I think there's good ways of containing costs, but I'm not sure prior authorization is always the best way to do it.
We're talking about some of the biggest changes in health coverage in the first year of the second Trump administration. Julie Rovner is with us, chief Washington correspondent for KFF Health News, and Bobby Peterson, executive director and founder at ABC for Health here in Wisconsin. Julie, one of the biggest issues has been the end of those expanded subsidies for marketplace coverage under the Affordable Care Act. President Trump released a one-pager, a plan to suggest to Congress, hey, work on this, saying in part, we're going to take those subsidies, but put them in individual health savings accounts. Not a lot of detail here yet. Julie, what do you see in this so far?
Yeah, I see actually the administration caving to Congress for the first time. The administration had, I think the president himself had sort of flirted with extending these extra subsidies because he's seeing what pollsters are telling him, which is that a lot of this is hitting Republican constituencies, people in red states, people who are farmers and ranchers and small business owners and often vote Republican are seeing some of the biggest increases. Instead, I think the president has said that what Congress has been pushing, which is to try to take money away from big insurance companies, as they say, is the way they would prefer to go. The idea here is to make the market more competitive, but individuals aren't going to have, first of all, a couple of thousand dollars isn't going to be enough to pay for needed health care, even if something fairly minor goes wrong. Healthcare is now so expensive. So if people try to sort of self-pay rather than use insurance, and then try to negotiate individually with doctors and hospitals, particularly when they have a health problem, it's hard to see how that's going to work out really well. But that's sort of the ideological fight right now.
And Julie, I will say I haven't been able to suss out the answer to this question myself. Is the idea that this money would go to people and they could use it toward their health care premiums, or is that not allowed? They'd just be using it to pay for out-of-pocket health expenses?
Well, we don't know. I mean, right now, you're not allowed to use it for healthcare premiums. Right now, health savings accounts are supposed to be an adjunct to insurance. They were supposed to make up for these insurance policies that had larger and larger multi-$1,000 deductibles, which most people couldn't afford, meaning you had to pay that amount yourself before your insurance kicked in. So the thought was people would be able to have a health savings account, and that money would accumulate tax-free over many years. And then when you did need care, you would have, you know, the amount of your deductible or close to it available to you in that health savings account. But there was always intended to be an insurance backup. Now there's talk about not having that insurance backup, and nobody's quite sure how that would work.
Bobby, do you see the kind of dollar amounts we're talking about here if this plan went through and were obviously fleshed out? Do you see that as something that would make a difference for those people who are bailing out of the marketplace as these subsidies expire?
Not really. I mean, I think that these types of plans, we usually characterize them as for the healthy and the wealthy. You know, if you've got resources, if you've got good coverage, these things can help sometimes. But when you see what the administration is doing, shifting power to the individual, they're giving it to the individual to face monolithic bureaucracies that are well-equipped, well-powered, have large marketing teams, hospitals, insurance companies, health plans. It's not a fair fight oftentimes. What's lacking in here, I looked to see if there was anything in there for consumer advocacy, consumer information, helping to help consumers cut through the red tape of these bureaucracies, non-existent. So to me, it's a non-starter.
Julie, one of your colleagues at KFF did an analysis of President Trump's approach to healthcare issues, arguing that he hasn't really tackled systemic changes or solutions, but more deal-making with the health industry, and pointing to some wins, the Trump administration saying, hey, look, we've reached this deal on the cost of key medications. Tell us a little more about that approach.
Yeah, well, the president prefers sort of this ad hoc, I'm going to negotiate these things by myself. But I mean, even in the drug prices, you know, they put out all these press releases saying they've reached these deals, and many of the deals would save some money for Medicare and Medicaid. And people who don't have insurance, people who have to buy their medications, you know, without the help of insurance, he's gained some discounts. But the vast majority of people do have insurance for drugs, either through Medicare, through Medicaid, or through their private insurance. And we're not seeing, you know, a lot of changes to that, at least not yet. The one big change that people are going to see this year are the drugs whose costs are going to lower because of the Medicare drug negotiations, which, of course, was passed by a Democratic Congress and signed by President Biden. So I guess President Trump can sort of take credit if he wants for those drug reductions. He's now, you know, saying that he's going to turn to the insurance companies and he's going to try to do individual deals with health insurance companies. But of course, the reason that insurance premiums have spiked so much is because the cost of health care has gone up so much. So it's not that the insurance companies are not making these gigantic profits. They're just trying to keep up with the cost of healthcare in general.
And Bobby, can you leave us with some advice for people who either are falling through the cracks now, can't afford that marketplace coverage anymore, or feel like they can only afford minimal coverage? What kind of advice is out there? What kind of assistance is there to help them navigate?
Yeah, I think looking at the WISCovered website is a good place to start. There's still assistance with some special enrollment periods for the marketplace that might be available. Looking at hospitals that have charity care programs, making sure that they are using those correctly. I mean, there's a big fair share deficit in Wisconsin. Hospitals are underperforming in terms of providing charity care to people. And again, they have a responsibility to because of all the tax exemptions that they get. It takes some work. It takes some tenacity, but keep digging. There's help out there through Aging and Disability Resource Centers, through Covering Wisconsin. And I think it's just a little tougher and it's going to be rough for a while.
Bobby, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
And Julie, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Julie Rovner is Chief Washington Correspondent for KFF Health News. And Bobby Peterson is the Founder, Executive Director, and Public Interest Attorney at ABC for Health here in Wisconsin. We've been talking about healthcare policy changes in the first year of the second Trump administration and what they mean here in Wisconsin.